At Everbank Field in Jacksonville, improvements continuing to the U.S. Assure clubs on each side. We head back up to Indianapolis, where improvements on the football side are just beginning. The NFL scouting combine continues at Lucas Oil Stadium. Welcome inside the media center. JP Shadrick with you on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. Here's what's up today on Jaguars.com Live. Head coach Gus Bradley. He was at the podium yesterday, but he's come back down again to visit with us here on set. Pro Football Focus senior analyst Steve Palazzolo will join us as well. And we'll answer a few more ozone questions today, as we have the last couple of days. John Osier is with us. Head coach Gus Bradley is with us too. What's up, guys? How are we doing, Gus?
Maybe have Gus answer the ozone questions, and I'll go in and scout. Maybe switch up a little bit.
That'll work, right?
Yeah, that's not you in any part of.
What do you think so far, Gus? We had the big day at the podium yesterday in the morning. Interview started last night. The process really starts getting on the field today, right?
It really does. You know, we talked about the Senior Bowl walking in that room, and you kind of get a feel that it's a good group. I think that same feeling's here at the combine. You get a chance to see the heights and weights of the offensive linemen, running backs, defensive linemen. Pretty impressive group that's here.
Here's my big question today, Gus. Is there a defensive guy walking around these halls right now who can impact next year for you?
Well, you'd like to think so, right? I mean, there's a lot of very good football players. Mm-hmm. And it's as far as projection, a lot of things that go into it. I think you've heard coaches talk at the podium about what it takes for an offensive lineman to step in their first year and be productive. So there's a lot of factors. That's what the combine's all about. It's a piece of the puzzle. You try to narrow it down to where you make a really good choice, get a really good football player that is ready to play.
We had some behind-the-scenes access last night. It's up on the website right now. Mark Ellens, the director of college scouting, gave us a tour of the interview room where you and I think Shad Khan and Dave Caldwell, everybody sits around and fires questions at these guys. You love that kind of setting, right?
Yeah, you really
do. You see a lot about a guy.
Yeah, you know, even though it's a short period of time, 15 minutes that you're in there with them, but you know, everybody's got their story, every player, and I think you're trying to attack them in different ways and try to get as much information as possible. And every organization's different how they really drill a player or talk to them, and it could be one set of kind of a tone with one player and different to a different set of a tone with another player.
Do you remember one that ever stands out, maybe the best interview that blew you away of somebody that's on the roster right now?
Well, on our roster,
yeah,
right now?
That, yeah, or
yeah, you know what? There has been. You know, a guy like Talvin Smith, I know he comes to mind, and you can imagine, right? You guys have gotten to know him and just type of interview that he would have. But, you know, you're looking for guys that are really passionate about the game and really coachable. You know, those two things are really two big qualities that you're looking for.
Do you like sitting there in the draft room, if you drafted a guy, being able to look back and go, yeah, I connected with that guy even for a second at the combine?
Yeah, you do. You know, and I don't know if some teams do. I know in the past couple of years, some teams will videotape these interviews. Mm-hmm. And then they go back to their facility and they watch them again. But that's the philosophy, right? You're trying to put these players at ease, trying to ask them questions, trying to get them to open up. And when there's a camera on there, it sounds like a good idea, but you really don't see them open up as much. So again, it goes back to philosophy, but you do kind of reflect and go back on some of these interviews that you've had with these guys.
It's always interesting to talk to you guys at the combine, because you've had the Senior Bowl, and yet after the combine you spend a few weeks really diving back into last season a little more than you really ever had the chance to during the season. What do you learn as you really dug deep into last year about either where you need to go, where you were?
Sure.
Just a takeaway.
Well, I think there's some things. You know, you look at all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams, and you attack all those areas. So offensively, you know, we did some really good things. Obviously, we got to take care of the ball. You know, that's a major part of our emphasis, as well as the running game. You know, to establish that run game, I think overall make our team better. Defensively, I think you look back at it, I think there's obviously things we need to tighten up. But that third down really jumps out at mm-hmm. you. And, you know, so we got to look at how we can affect the quarterback on third down and get off the field on third down. And the same with special teams. I thought we made great strides, especially at the end of the season, but areas of improvement there too. So it's really cool because now, you know, you're looking at free agency and you want to be open to all these players that are available, and knowing that if you do sign some of these guys, you got to be open to changing your scheme a little bit to really meet the needs of the players. So although we're looking at our scheme, team, trying to understand things we can do better. We're keeping an open mind, you know, to keep everybody available in the free agency and the draft.
So you're not locked into this. You know, everybody talks about the Gus Bradley scheme. That can change and be fluid a little bit with the players.
Right. It's about trying to get the best players on the field. And, you know, we have our core principles. We have our core beliefs. Mm-hmm. But if it needs tweaking to get the best players on the field, we got to be flexible enough to do that.
I remember you saying once, Leo doesn't have to be 230 pounds. He can be 300 if he can get the quarterback.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We'll take all sizes and shapes.
The position groups here at the Combine, which position groups stand out so far? I mean, it's only the first day on the field, but when you've seen them off to the side and on film, what groups stand out?
Well, I think the offensive line has really generated a lot of talk amongst coaches. You know, the way they've come in, I know just through the interviews we've had, pretty impressive group. And, you know, sometimes that's difficult because guys come in, it's a different style, mm-hmm. how they play, the style of college football to the NFL is different. So when you get them in these interview situations, and you ask them different questions on scheme, and just to see how bright and how fast they've really caught on to what you're going to ask them, pretty impressive group.
Let's go to social media. I know you're on Twitter, Gus, at GusBradley25, right? Isn't that your handle? Is that it?
I guess.
He's always on his phone around the building.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good to know. We have some questions from social media. We go from Instagram today. Not Abby Kiupa asking, who is the player to watch next season on your team right now? Maybe an under-the-radar Jaguar next year.
Wow. You know what? The guy that just came to my mind, Michael Bennett. You know, as I think it's a guy that, you know, we saw him towards the end of the season really come into his own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anytime you get an interior player that does a good job versus the run and can add a little bit versus the rush, you know, it's a good thing. So we really like the development. You know, he was a guy that just came to mind as we were sitting here.
He's a guy that was a late round pick. A lot of people had him projected high last year. Remember that process, right? He came in, he was going to be a high draft pick. You got him later in the draft. The whole process of talking to Bennett, how did that work?
Yeah, you know what? It was good. A good visit with him, had a little chip on his shoulder, mm-hmm. you know, about that process. So, but he is a classic example. When he came in, there was a learning curve that he had to go through, mm-hmm. but he quickly adjusted, really a sharp player, understood the scheme that we were running, and fit in nicely. So that was a great story.
And as a coach, you worry less than maybe fans do if a rookie doesn't come in and just set the world on fire at first. You don't really expect that.
Well,
you'd love it, but it's not unusual.
Yeah, you hope that it takes place. I mean, that's the reason why you draft him, especially in the early rounds. But it doesn't always work out that way. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of things that goes into it, and you hope that the player come in and just quickly, and, you know, you look at their maturity and how they're willing to handle it. But you also want to take a good look at making sure that you get a really good football player, mm-hmm. a good athlete, that maybe he'll have a little bit of a learning curve, but, you know, the big picture, you're going to have a guy for a long time that's going to play at a high level.
Next social media question from Instagram, Kev J. Shaw asking, everyone's discussing defense, but where do you start on fixing the offense? What's the next step on offense?
Right. Well, I think you're right. We want to have that mindset of, you know, we're not locked into, hey, the first round or second round, defense. It's really, we continue our philosophy of best available. And, you know, because I think we feel like we have some very good players, and we want to go out and add some very good players to what we have. And so, you know, offensively, you know, the offensive line, we're looking at some things there. But, you know, I say offensive line, but really all position groups. Mm-hmm. If there's guys that can come in and add competition and create a higher standard for us, we're open to that.
You talked about the need to run yesterday when you were on the podium. You really believe that the better you run, the more that's going to help Blake in play action and in a lot of situations, don't you?
Well, it'll help your offense, it'll help your defense, it'll help your team. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a vital part of it. And, you know, that's why it starts up front with the offensive line. But, you know, there's so much competition that we take in place. As a coach, you want competition at every spot. And we feel like with a guy like T.J. Yeldon, and then you look at Jonas and Denard Robinson, and it's starting to add up to where you have more competition. You know, that's a good sign.
Another social media question. A couple more. We'll get you out of here, guys. Clark M85 on Instagram. If you were to sign Vito Stellino, what position would he play?
He'd be our X.
Really? You know?
Yeah, we'd isolate him on the backside.
We almost have to put him anywhere. You almost have to just let him freelance a little
bit. That's right. You know, hopefully we'll get some double coverage, you know, over to Vito, and he'll open some things up on the three receiver side.
He could catch a fade, right? He's got some nice long arms on him.
Yes.
That's right. His intensity. You know, that's what we can count on, right? Every day he's going to bring that.
We'll finish with this one. What three characteristics do you need to be a good free safety in your system? CD Intrigue 19 asking about
that's a great question. It really is, you know, because you've heard us talk about red line to red line, you know, being able to cover a lot of ground, and that is important, that range that a free safety has. But the ability to tackle in the open field, you know, if it gets through, you know, 10 guys or including the corners, he's really the lone person back there that's got to make the tackle and get him down or keep it from getting to be an explosive play. But, you know, I think understanding our scheme and really understanding the quarterback and the passing game, you know, a quarterback looks your way not to fall for it, you know, to have that savviness of a free safety to play all the different route concepts. A big part of it, I think that concept is climbing in how we look at the free safety position.
And it's a really hard... There's a handful of guys on the planet who can do the things you're talking about, right? I mean,
right.
it's a hard thing to do.
It's, you know, you're looking for the speed, you know, to cover from red line to red line. So a young player can do that.
Right.
The savviness, that just takes some experience. You know, the more that you play, especially games in the NFL, you can bring that to the table. So it is a unique position, but there's enough candidates out there.
So there's a bunch of them in there, right?
There is, you know, including the guys that we have in-house. Right. You know, they're starting to get experience within our system, and you see them progressing, but... Again, the more that you can have as far as competition, always good.
Gus, put Vito there.
Put Vito out.
Put him in the free safety.
Gus, get your stopwatch ready. Have fun today, man.
Okay, thank you so
Gus,
much,
thanks.
You guys.
Gus Bradley joining
it.
Us here on Jaguars.com okay. Live, presented by EverBank. Our coverage wraps up later this week. We will get out of here tomorrow, but look for behind-the-scenes access here on Jaguars.com from the NFL Scouting Combine throughout the week. And Jaguars.com Live continues now with Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus senior analyst. I think I said that right finally, right?
Yeah, you got it. Perfect.
Finally. I know Jaguars Monday a little while back. I think we butchered the name, but it's good to have you, man. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having
me. This is fun, right? This is your kind of scene, the combine, the measuring of hands and all that. That's right
in
your
man.
Wheelhouse.
Favorite
right?
week of the year. You get to see old friends, see the new players, and a lot of buzz. It's always a fun week.
How much have you seen what you do grow in acceptance with the league and the fans? Because it's something, I've been around 20 years, when I first started covering the league, didn't exist. Right. And it just seems like every year you guys get better at it.
Yep.
And it also, there seems to be more of an awareness.
Right.
I don't want to say acceptance, because I'm not trying to insult what you do, but it, I know it took a while for people to accept that this was a part
right.
of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it started with a guy with a vision in London. So the right. fact that it, you know, started overseas, and to your point, it's more accepted every year. We mm-hmm. do improve every year, and I think that's the biggest thing, is we make sure that we're always moving forward and always making the process better, easier to understand for fans. And what we really do with the NFL is make their jobs easier. So that's what, part of this week is we sit down with coaches and they say, do you know how much you made my job easier last year because you gave me this data and it just helped my work week, or it brought some extra insight. So we're always evolving and trying to help teams, help fans do a better job of evaluating players, and we've gotten better, and I do think it's spread a lot more as we've gone.
When did you feel the coach's resistance wall go down? Because I'm sure a lot of old school guys at first, when you first tried to bring numbers to them, was kind of what are you talking about, right?
I mean, there's still some of it. Okay. I mean, there's still some. It depends on the coach. But, you know, I was talking to an offensive line coach last night, and, you know, we're going through, and he's like, wait, you guys can do – he didn't know our right. product. He's never used it. He said, you can do that, and you can do this, and you can help me do that. When they see it in mm-hmm. action, most of the time they realize, okay, you're making my job a little bit easier because you're giving me information that normally I have to look through 100 clips, and you're, you know, bringing them down to 20 for us. Or, you know, from personnel standpoint, they're saying, okay, you're helping us evaluate and helping us maybe just pointing an arrow toward players that we need to look at. Not making the final decision, right. so to speak, but pointing the arrow so that we can do a better job and be more efficient.
It's a fascinating thing because it's really grown up. Like I said, in 95 when I started covering the league, it wasn't even an element of it.
Yeah.
And now it's a huge part of what's going on.
And, of course, the next frontier for you guys are college games and college prospects. That's, of course, a big part of the combine here and on Pro Football Focus right now. I think you have some analysis of Bosa and some of the edge rushers. That's a position the Jaguars could be looking towards. What do you think of Bosa? He was just on the podium this morning. What do you think of Joey?
I like him a lot. I mean, he's graded for us unbelievably the last 2 years. We started this in 2014 last year, and from a pure grade standpoint, again, what we're doing is saying pure production. Did you beat your block or did you not? He actually outgraded a bunch of the first-round edge rushers from last year, guys like Dante Fowler and Vic Beasley and Shane Ray and all those guys that had a lot of hype coming in. Bosa doesn't have that burst and explosion. That he's not that Jadeveon Clowney type of number one overall pick from a style standpoint, but Bosa's so strong, uses his hands extremely well, and he beats blocks. So I think you have a guy that's going to come in and be an elite run defender who can get after the passer.
If it's Bosa or Spence, who are you taking?
I think for the Jags, Spence fits extremely well. If you think about what Fowler's going to do in that system, he's not necessarily going to play that, get up the field, edge type of player. I think he's more versatile than that. I think Spence could be the guy in that Chris Clemens type of role where you just say, go get the quarterback. And Spence, there's not a lot of guys in this draft like him because he's so explosive off the edge and he can create pressure. It's not a deep edge class in that vein. So I think Spence, if all the off-field checks out, would be a great fit for the Jags.
Yeah, he's a mammoth story on draft day because all the talent in the world, and somebody's going to take a chance on it. And it'll be interesting to see what happens on that one.
Now, moving forward for you guys, how long do you stay here at the Combine?
I'm here till Saturday. We do a lot of the interacting with teams, do the media stuff, and then I'm going to go home and watch more of the events from home and, just see how these guys run and jump and do their drills.
And you're actually a Jags fan. You were a Jags fan way back in the day, right?
I jumped on the bandwagon in 96 when they were 4-7, mind you, and for whatever reason, I loved watching Brunell and Jimmy and Keenan, and they were just so fun to watch. I loved those late 90s Jags were some of my favorite teams of all time.
Well, John Osher was around then.
I was around then, and still around, still kicking.
You're still here.
Still trying to make it.
It's good to see you. Thanks for coming on with us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, joining us here at the NFL Scouting Combine. Get tickets for 2016. Renewals are out now. Houston and Tennessee, the home divisional games. The Indy game, of course, is in London, but Denver, Green Bay, Minnesota, and all the rest are in Jacksonville at Everbank Field. Call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/tickets for more information on season ticket renewals. J.P. Shadrick, John Osher, Jaguars.com live from the Media Center at Lucas Oil Stadium. Thanks to Gus Bradley, Steve Palazzolo, too. Interesting,
yeah.
We talked to him a good bit on the radio side, and we discussed their grades a lot on Monday nights after the game.
Sure.
To get Bocelli riled up. But more and more, more teams are using their information.
Well, and it is fascinating. Like I said, when I started covering the league in 95 and even up until probably 01, 02, you heard about analytics, and there was often this sense of, well, that's a baseball thing. That can't work for football because it's not as linear, however you say it. There's too much going on. And I think there is an element of the NFL that will always sort of be separate from analytics. It's going to be hard for it to completely define what the game's all about, but I don't think that's what the goal of analytics is. It's, as he said, it's a tool. It's to have coaches open their eyes and go, oh, okay, I see. This is where I can be helped. This is where we can better understand what's going on out there. This is where we can disseminate information more quickly. And it's fascinating to watch as it gets better and better. And as they get better at it, and as teams accept it more, there's more communication, it is interesting to see how much a part of the league it is, because it's becoming a huge part.
And it's you can't put a number on heart and effort, and that's the real balance of this thing. How do you grade that? It certainly has a big piece of the pie, though.
Yeah, and really my drawbacks are in those areas. So it's I'm glad you can't measure those, because if you could, I'd be in a lot of trouble.
Hey, we can measure your answers to your ozone questions, though.
Yes,
John.
We can. Unfortunately, we can't.
Let's make it 3 days in a row. How about that? Some ozone questions from readers today. Question number one from Jeff D. in Jacksonville. Deep talent pool in this year's draft for defense, just when we need it. 2 years ago, a deep talent pool for offense when we needed it most. Dave has a plan, it looks like.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when Caldwell talks about the build, as you look back on it and look forward on it into what's going to happen in the draft this year, it's clear he looked at the draft in 13 and said, okay, these next couple of drafts are going to have a lot of offensive players. We can get receivers. We can get a quarterback. We can get this. And especially once he drafted Blake Bortles, they really shifted to say, we are going to get the offense built. We're going to have that grow. And there is going to be a talent pool in the draft to help us do that. Mm-hmm. Now, it's always a percentage game, the draft. It's never like, even when they say it's a deep draft for offense or defense, it's not like those are the only players available. So let's not overplay this. But certainly Dave felt like coming into this year's draft that some of the spots that they needed were going to be there. And it's not a coincidence that they took Dante Fowler Jr. last year in a year where they were still trying to build offense. They knew edge rusher, short of a couple of guys, was going to be weak this year. So they wanted to get it last year. So it all speaks to the long-term planning that he does and that he has scouts do. The scouts on this team spend a lot of time trying to figure out the strengths of future drafts as well, mm-hmm, to help for draft day planning. Not a coincidence.
Yeah, not just this year, but yeah, certainly the classes behind the current class as well. Ozone question number two today from Sean in San Antonio via Jacksonville. The emergence of A-Rob and Hearns along with Green, does that make Marquise Lee expendable? When healthy, he's a talent, but he may have decreased his value with injury. I'm not saying we should trade him, but what do you say? No?
No. And there's always an urge this time of year as you approach the draft to try to look at a guy on the team who's not starting or who's behind good players and say, let's trade him. First of all, it's tougher to do that in the NFL than his other sports. Second of all, stop trying to get rid of talented players. Just because a guy is not first on the depth chart does not mean that he can't help you. Injuries are very common in the NFL. At some point, A-Rob and Hearns are going to get hurt because people get hurt. Marquise Lee is a talent. And the second thing is, he may be on the field. I think he's going to be on the field a lot more than he was before. Dave Caldwell the other day talked about it's not impossible to get Hearns, Lee, and Robinson on the field at the same time. Hearns can move inside and play the slot. He's very good at that. You can have Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson on the outside. Marquise Lee's issue has been more being healthy enough to be on the field than not being able to get time with the other guys. So, no, you don't trade Marquise Lee.
There you have the Ozone questions for the day. This is a defensive end and linebacker day.
Yes, it is.
At the Combine. So, busy day. Bosa is already on the podium.
And give me Joey Bosa, by the way.
Yeah?
I don't know if he can play or not, but give me him in the locker room. He's a funny kid. He would be good with the media. So, that's my little petition to draft Joey Bosa.
Okay. We'll see what Spence has to say. We'll see what Miles Jack has to say maybe a little bit later today, too. Maybe
he's entertaining. If you get a chance to see his podium. Well, I like funny. I wish I was.
We need more of that around here.
Yeah, we do.
Sure. John, well done, and we'll look for your writing a little bit later today.
And that's it, right? That's a wrap for the week.
Yeah, we'll have some behind-the-scenes stuff here on Jaguars.
Yeah, but
the live show.
On this show.
That's
on this show, in this context.
This is it.
Good job. I enjoyed it this week, buddy.
Good job. Yeah, well done. We'll have Inside the Jaguars coming up a little bit later, of course, on the site right now. Behind-the-scenes look at the Crown Plaza across the street inside the Jaguars interview room with Mark Ellens, the Jaguars director of college scouting. So much more throughout the week. All the Inside the Jaguars, all the podium access right here on Jaguars.com. That will do it for today on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank.